When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Thank you for listening to this Belly Up Sports Podcast Network product. Some said we go belly up, so we made it our name, and we're still here.
Baseball's great charm is that the action comes in spurts, which leaves plenty of time to spin yarns, look at the girls, and make wisecracks.
Welcome to another episode of Full Count Chaos. How are you? Hope everyone's doing well. I truly hope you guys are doing well, because right now as I'm recording, it is Sunday. The Orioles are 5-4. Disappointing, because after those first two games, opening day and then the next day, they were just on a tear. Just two games. Just those two games, plus going into the season, all the big chatter, the Orioles are going to be the best team. They're going to go 162-0. And then 5-4. They have a winning record. But I thought after those two games, I was one of them. I'm like, holy hell, man. I mean, you know, usually, ironically, when the Orioles score 100 runs in a game, that usually means the next two or three games they go cold. Was hoping that's not what was going to happen this season. Although it's a long season, anything can happen. But the Orioles just got beat by the Pittsburgh Pirates, who should be a decent team, although they always seem like that team in the past couple of years. They do well in the first half, and then they shit the bed in the second. Though I think Pittsburgh is starting to come around. I hate giving props to any Pittsburgh team. But as bad as the Orioles played against the Pirates, the Orioles still almost won 2 out of 3. Gunnar Henderson tried to make a hell of a play.
Oh, shit!
And just shit the bag with throwing to first base. Tellez, that fat piece of turd. I'm going to see that chubby face. And by the way, Tellez, growing a beard doesn't hide your chubby face. We all know how fat you are. All those fat players, they all grow beards. Maybe if I grow a beard, nobody will know how fat this face is. Yes, well, your belly lets us know how fat you really are. Well, that fat fuck, number one, he almost ended Westberg's season. Could have easily ended his season on Saturday. That was Saturday. Tellez running to third base. Westberg had it, was trying to make a double play. Tellez didn't, he didn't slide. That wasn't a slide. That was, he plopped. That was a plop. He just plopped his fat butt on the ground and swooped his legs around to try to trip Westberg. After he tripped Westberg, he crawled his fat, sweaty butt to third base and then touched third base after he karate kicked Westberg in the shin. And I remember watching that play and saying to myself, well, that's going to be an easy double play, ending over. Because at that point, there was one out. After he, you know, tagged third, two outs, interference, double play, ending over. For some reason, MLB goes to the replay, whoever's in the booth up in New York, because they say, oh, it's Baltimore, let's screw them. No, it's okay to run a foot and a half outside the base paths and slide into a player trying to throw the ball when he's 4 feet from the bag.
You should be medicated.
That's just this whole weekend was frustrating baseball. Going into Pittsburgh, I put out a poll a few weeks ago of after the first 10 games, what do you think the Orioles' record will be? Now, of course, they still have to go play ball. Was it the first nine? Yeah, it was the first nine games. I'm sorry, not first 10. First nine games, because three against Anaheim, three against Pittsburgh, and three, oh my God, who else did they play? That's right, three against the Royals. So I said, hey, after the nine games, and seven and two were the most popular. The one after that was 5-4. And I was on the 5-4 fence because I say every time we did this last year, although we weren't expected to be as good. I think this season in 2024, I said an episode or two ago, this is going to be one of the greatest teams in the Orioles. Like, I was getting all caught up, being like, this is going to be one of the best teams we're ever going to see. I just know that every time we we seem to be like, yeah, the Orioles are just going to go in, they're just going to take care of business, something happens. The bats go cold, the bullpen, it's just sports. It's how it is. But here we are, 5-4. It's a winning record. 3-28 with runners in scoring position against the Pirates. That's never going to win you series. Although the Orioles, as bad as they played, almost pulled that out. Now, I know the bad throw from Gunnar Henderson. People were posting photos. Was this interference by Telez? No, it wasn't. Again, just another example of how fat he is. Anytime he's running, he's going to interfere with everything. But it wasn't. It was just a bad throw by Gunnar. Gunnar was trying to throw 108 miles per hour to first base. He just overthrew it. That's all he did. Poor Gunnar. One of the best players on the team. And he's just having a rough week with the bat. He's made some errors in the field. Figure it out. So far this season, the team is hitting 181 off starting pitchers. And 287 off the bullpen. Got to get things going with the bats. It's getting brutal. Now, we knew going into the season, the bullpen was going to be iffy. I remember talking about it a few weeks ago, saying, look, the Orioles are probably going to have to score 10 runs to make it a close game. Because after Grayson and Burns, I don't know what's going to happen with starting pitching. Then the bullpen's going to have to come in and clean it up. We've already seen Michael Bauman shit in the bed. Although Kalum came in the other night, Saturday night, after Bauman shit the bed and escaped bases loaded, no outs, and extra innings.
I've got balls of steel.
I mean, Kalum was jumping up and down like he just got told he won, you know, $50 million. I mean, I think we were all doing the same exact thing Kalum was doing when he got out of bases loaded, no outs, and extra innings on the road. That was insane. But Bauman, oh God, the guy just gives me gas pains every time I see him go out. And I know, was it last year he was 10-1? I hate bullpen pitcher, relief pitchers' records and ERAs and saves and losses. It's all bullshit the way that it's worked out. You could come in, have bases loaded, and that relief pitcher just keep giving base hit after base hit after base hit, give up the win, and nothing is up against him pertaining to ERA. And he's either pretty good, or he just completely sucks. Now, Cano had his ups and downs this season. Look, we've learned even last season, it's something about Cano when he's trying to close out the game in the ninth inning, he's a head case. What can I tell you? He's a head case. But Kalum coming in Saturday night and just escape, that gives you high hopes. Like, okay, that's the kind of shit. And Aiken, he's looking good. But, you know, with Perez being out and then Bautista hurt, obviously not coming out, we just don't know. And Kimbrel gave up his first attempted save and he blew it. Whatever. I think we all kind of had an idea of what was going to happen in the bullpen. I want to hear from you guys. FullCountChaos@gmail.com. Some emails came in talking about their experience at opening day. Again, so far the Orioles 5-4. I'm just venting a little bit because anytime you do a podcast right after a bad loss, and that was a stinky way to lose. You're thinking Gunnar Henderson was about to make one of the greatest plays throughout 2024, and it winds up not only backfiring, but you lose because of that play. I'm going to come on the mic a little bit and just start being like, rah, 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 rah. Oh, man. I mean, we got to get a bullpen arm in there. I was talking to my father-in-law over the weekend. He almost broke a blood vessel hearing that I'm putting Mullins in a trade scenario. I've said it before. I like Mullins. Look, he made some plays this weekend where you're like, God bless him. He saved the game Saturday to go in another inning, I think. Or was that the same inning? Regardless, Mullins saved the game on that play. And Hayes made some great plays, but Hayes is bad. I mean, he was doing this last year. He either strikes out or a hard ground ball to the shortstop. I don't know. But anyway, I thought I was going to have to take my father-in-law, who I love very much, one of the greatest guys ever, but, you know, he loves Cedric Mullins, and a lot of people do, and I'm not going to go down that rabbit hole of explaining why I feel the way I do about Cedric Mullins again. But you got to give some good, decent players to get a good, decent player. That's how trades work. It's funny that I see a lot of fans, like, let's just bundle up all our bad players and go get a good player. You can't do that. You can't say, well, here's 10 players for your one solid bullpen arm. That's a fair trade, right? Because we're giving you 10 players, but we only want one arm. You see? No, that's not how it works. So Mullins, who's a great center fielder, good bat, average arm. Look, he'd be a good guy to put in a trade, you know, and I know we could throw Urias and Hayes and a lot of knee-jerk reaction players that I want gone. And I know Ben McDonald today's game on Sunday was trying to tell fans, like, look, guys, because he's on Twitter a lot, by the way, or X, I'm sorry. He's on X a lot. And he sees everyone just, you know, venting, because that's where we go to vent when the Orioles lose. So he was saying, hey, guys, let's just relax and be patient, which I'm going to mention that in a second here. That was all over X. But putting a guy, a good player, whether Elias is going to be using some of these guys, some of these kids down in Norfolk, not sure if you heard about that, but something's got to be brewing here. Now's the time. They got Corbin Burns just for 1 year. I don't think you want to waste a year of let's do it now, let's win it all now, and not make a big move. And I'm sure Mike Elias is going to make a move here sooner or later. It's got to be coming. But I cannot stand fans who try to tell me, who cares, it's only April, relax. And I tweeted, when does the statute run out with relax, it's still early? And a lot of fans give examples of last season. Well, last season we started 6-6. Well, last season we did. Well, every single season is different. Things don't always work out the way you want it to, and vice versa. So I'm sorry if I say, look, April losses hurt you just as much as September losses. Now I get it, a game or two or three or four or five. Look, okay, I understand that point. Like, if you're trying to tell me, like, yeah, you know, these guys need to get it together, maybe they're just trying to figure it out. But when you're telling me, who cares about this, it's just April. If you lose a game or two, if you don't make the playoffs, and you look back at games like this series of the Pirates and whatever game, even we still have a lot of April left. Those losses hurt just as much as September. So I never understand when people say, just relax, it's only April. I get, look, both sides of the argument, I understand, but I hate that. Like, let's win now. What do you mean, who cares that it's April? Win now. Put your best team out opening day and the rest of the year. Let's not do tryouts anymore. Let's not go, hey, come on, guys, you know, he's a streaky hitter. Let's just be patient and hope he picks it up. Try to put your best team out every single day. And you can't tell me and look me in the face and tell me Urias and Kemp, you know, guys like Mateo at the bat and Hayes, these are your best guys. This is your best team. And I'm sure Elias will be making a change. I'm sure there's going to be a trade coming. And I don't want to talk shit about Hyde. So there's a lot of, you know, you just get so funny, man. And look, we're sports fans. We're always going to give our opinion and advice when we're watching the game, because that's what we do. Look, a lot of us know the game. So we're going to give our opinion. Like, this past Saturday night in the 10th inning, bottom of the 10th, runner on second, one out, and you're pitching to one of their best hitters, Cruz. Why are you not walking that guy to set up the double play? I think things like that, it's okay to call out Hyde and be like, what the fuck were you thinking? Because I don't think I'd be in the minority by saying that. It just bugs me knowing that if you miss the playoffs by two or three games and you say, oh, you could have put your best team out there mid-April, end of April. I had someone tell me on X, and I love talking to the fans, and I never tell anyone, no, you're wrong. I'm right. This is why. We all have our different opinions, and we all have our reasons why. So one thing I never do, I never say, you're wrong. I'm right. But somebody responded when I said, when's the statute up? When it's still early. Someone said mid-May. Now that I got to say, if they're still putting out a lineup with Kemp and Hayes and Urias, and they're still batting the way that they are, and a lot of these guys are still batting ice cold, and we're still seeing Mateo in center field and O'Hearn in right field, like, that better not be going on in mid-May. Or what, Nate? What are you going to do? What the fuck are you going to do? I'm just saying, come on. Mid-May? Ugh. Like, this week should kind of start making conversations. Look, I have friends or family in Wisconsin who they don't watch sports. They don't watch football. They don't watch baseball. But they know that I'm an Orioles fan. And I have family from Wisconsin who are asking me about these kids in Norfolk. And they don't even follow baseball. Like, what these guys are doing down in AAA, obviously, I don't need to sit here and break it down of who I'm talking about. If you walk by in 10 years, a guy wearing a shirt, let's say that, you know, the shirt says, like, the Norfolk Five. 20 years later, we go, oh, yeah, I remember those. Yeah, you're talking about Kerstead, Stowers, Norby, Holiday, and Mayo, right? And that, yes, that's who I'm talking about. But I thought that was so funny. Like, somebody who doesn't follow sports is seeing the front page of, like, news or sports or whatever about what these kids are doing in AAA. It's ridiculous. It's impossible to ignore. I know Elias, we all know what he's doing with fudging around with the contract and so forth. But at this point, you just can't ignore it anymore. It's ridiculous. Heston Kerstead, so far, these OPS, 1.795. Kyle Stowers, 1.354. Norby, 1.259. Holiday, 1.22. Mayo, 1.087. They combined to go 8-for-22 with two doubles, one home run, six walks, and five RBIs. And the Tides win 13-1 the other night.
Wait, what did you say?
So a trade or something's coming up here soon. I don't care if it's 9 games, 1 game, 12 games. If it's mid-May, you got to start putting some, because we're starting to see the patterns of some of these batters, like Hayes, that we saw last year. And I get it. And I also tweeted out, I said, look, most sports fan, they want to see that new shiny toy. We all do that. Oh, we're bored with these shiny toys. You know, if it doesn't seem like it's working as well right now, I want that new shiny toy. We always want to see the new shiny toy in sports. So yes, we are very knee-jerk reaction fans. Bring him up, bring him up. Look what he did. He just went 5-for-6. Bring him up because Hayes went 0-for-21. So bring that player up. And then, you know, it just, whatever. But what these kids are doing right now in AAA, you can't ignore it. You got to do something about it right now. I mean, the Tigers are just playing their ass off. Their offensive numbers in the 8 games this season, AAA, 98 runs, 29 home runs, 113 hits, 54 extra base hits, and 44 walks. The fuck out of here. Jackson Holiday averaged 343, 2 home runs, 9 RBIs. Again, this is just in 8 games. Average, Keston Hurst at 500, 6 home runs, 25 RBIs. Connor Norby averaged 385, 4 home runs, 13 RBIs. And Kobe Mayo averaged 405 with 2 home runs, 6 RBIs. You know, look, I get it. It's the first week of baseball. I understand that. But when you get a guy like Corbin Burnes on your team just for 1 year, and who knows, well, whatever happens after the season, they may come up to, you know, his agent and Elias, whoever, decide to bring him back if that's what he wants to do. But when you get a guy like Corbin Burnes, you're going, all right, the very, very first day that we're going to play, or opening day, that day, we want to have our best team out. It's like it's infuriating of course, when you're seeing guys who are ice cold, and then you're seeing those kids down and over. So again, who knows if that's how it's going to continue to go. I mean, they may all five of them wind up going combined of two for 110. Who knows? But yeah, it's just been an interesting week of baseball so far. Again, fullcountchaos@gmail.com. Some emails did come in. I'm going to go over here in just a minute. I want to hear from you. How's your week of baseball been going so far? Did you go to opening day? Did you enjoy it? After watching the Orioles score 100 runs in two games, for fuck's sake, or whatever they scored, the Orioles score one run with three hits the next game against the Angels, and that was off a walk, by the way. Then they barely pull out a series win against the pesky fuckers Kansas City. They're the most pesky players in baseball. I can't stand playing them, and they're all fast, stealing bases left and right. They're so damn annoying. And that was concerning, seeing them steal all those bases. You don't want to see that. Everyone's winding up. Takes 10 minutes to throw it home. So look, I don't want to give any knee-jerk reactions, but I love doing that. I don't even know why I said it. I don't want to give any knee-jerk reactions. Yes, I do. I love giving knee-jerk reactions. I love tweeting out knee-jerk reaction tweets. I love talking about it on the podcast. I want to hear who your knee-jerk reaction is so far in 2024. Mine is Ramon Urias. I mean, it's time for him to go. He's batting 50. His average is 59 right now. And I get it, Golden Glove guy. But there's other kids now, other players that we can put on third base that I feel would do just as well. 170 OPS, no RBI, 17 at-bats. I mean, he against extra innings against the Royals that the Orioles wound up winning, he had a bad attempt. You know, first swing, momentum's going. We got two on, one out. And he comes up and his swing for some reason lately looks sloppy, but he is not getting wood on the ball. Everything is just a lazy fly ball, like deep shortstop, deep second base. So I'm ready for Urias to go. Just not bringing anything. 9 days into the season, there's my knee-jerk reaction. But these guys have got to score runs. It's got to be that way with this bullpen. I'm all for Kimbrel. He's a veteran. He's not a head case. Yeah, I understand he gave up a run and blew the save the other night. I like the guy. He's got good stuff. You put anybody else in high leverage situations. Let's say Cano. Look, when his sinker is working, forget about it. Even though they lost on Sunday, you could see Cano, obviously he went in there, he starts being a head case right away, he starts giving up little fluff pitches down the middle of the plate, all these hits, but for some reason something clicks, and his sinker starts working, and they just can't hit the ball. It's a shame that he can't do it as soon as he steps on the mound. Then you got Bauman, he's just terrible in high leverage situations. So Kimbrel, I'm fine with. He's not a head case. He's a veteran closer who can do his job. But again, I hate to come out and have a venting podcast episode because, again, I'm doing an episode right after a bad weekend of baseball. Maybe I should try to tone it down a little bit when the Orioles have a real bad weekend. But sometimes after a bad weekend like this, I'm like, I got to get on the mic and then tell my feelings. I need you guys. I need you guys on a weekend like this of Orioles baseball. Oh, it's infuriating. All right, fullcountchaos@gmail.com. Some people wrote in about their opening day experience. Again, I want to hear about your opening day or how's your week of baseball going and your knee-jerk reactions, all that good shit. Damien from Arbutus. Every now and then, people will put where they're from. He says, howdy, Nate. Opening day was such a great experience this year. I probably took over 500 photos that day. No joke. I was so excited because I got to take my two nephews with me, and they were wide-eyed like a deer in headlights all game. They're twin brothers at the age of 10, and they've only been to one other game, but I don't think they really remember. They were 3 years old the last time they went. So this year, they were looking around like they were walking around the North Pole at Santa's workshop. They ate cotton candy, ice cream, hot dogs, and anything else they could fit inside their belly. Yeah, it sounds like me, Damien. That's exactly how I handle anything that fits in my belly. I'm going to buy it, and I'm going to eat it all. And the way that I fool myself, being like, you're not stuffing your fat face as bad as you think you are, as long as you just kind of even it out throughout the whole game. Yeah, this huge island of food that I'm buying, if I just span it out over 9 innings, It's fine. It's no problem. No, you have an eating problem when you go to Camden Yards. You need to do something about it. Anyway, Damien continues and says, we actually had to pull over on the way home because my one nephew was about to shit his pants. Yeah, Damien, I also have had that experience too. He says, I did not want to clean up shit out of my brand new truck. My nephews are now asking for a Corbin Burns jersey for their birthday next month. Poor guys will be real sad when they don't see him again after this season. I'm taking them again in a couple weeks as long as they can keep their grades at straight A's. I told my sister to relax, but she's going to use the Orioles to threaten them to get good grades. Love the podcast and can't wait to keep watching these O's continue to win these fun games. Damien from Arbutus. I can always tell when the emails come in before the Orioles shit the bed, like against Pittsburgh. Yeah, can't wait. This is so exciting. It's probably like some of my podcast episodes. Orioles have a real bad week. And then you tune into my episode from like 2 weeks ago. I'm like, yeah, Birdland, what's up? This is awesome. You're like, shut the fuck up. What are you talking about? They just lost 10 in a row. So I can always tell when the emails come in, you know, people are like, woohoo. It's like, nah, this is probably before the Orioles shit the bed. But Damien, appreciate it. That's awesome. Got to take your nephews. I love it. Taking nieces and nephews to games because I love the look on their face too. And over the years, I've definitely done the same thing. My nieces, nephews, you know, you bring them in the stadium. They've never been there before. And I always look right at them when I bring them through the tunnel because they're just in awe. You're right. It's kind of like, hey, we're going to Santa Claus. We're going to North Pole. Look at Santa Claus Workshop. And they just look around. And they're just in awe. But that's awesome, man. I'm very glad you didn't have to clean up shit on the way home in your brand new truck. Although that's always great material for the podcast. If I get to read an episode of someone taking a dump in your brand new truck. But yeah, hopefully that your sister either relaxes or your nephews figure out a way to continue to get straight A's so they can go to the games with you. I think that's great, man, that you have a good relationship with your sister and nephews and you get to take them to a game, man. I hope you keep doing it. And yeah, fuck it. Go ahead, give them the Corbin Burns jersey. Maybe it'll be a way for them to learn what it's like to lose their favorite player. Because that happens more and more as the years go on. I appreciate the email. Here's an email from Aiden. It says, Mr. Chaos, how's it going? What a beautiful opening day at Camden Yards. Watching Corbin Burns pitch in an Orioles uniform was a blessing to all Orioles fans. That was so awesome to watch that guy plow down batters all day. Over the years, I've loved listening to the people writing into your podcast talking about the horror of taking their dates to Camden Yards. He says, I'll always remember the one where the guy's date wound up going home with his friend that night. That was awful. That poor guy. He says, I was thinking about that because I met a girl online a couple weeks ago and our second date was opening day. She loves the Orioles and was so excited when I told her I have opening day tickets. I hope she loves me one day as much as she loves the Orioles. Okay, calm down, Cupid. It's only your second date. I remember reading this one where I'm thinking, I almost wrote back to him and was like, dude, do me a favor, like, settle down. Do not bring that energy to her. Boy, oh, I hope you love me as much as you love the Orioles. It's like you've known each other for 72 hours. Anyway, I get it. You met a new girl. You're excited. The Orioles are winning. It's just a happy time. Anyway, Aiden continues. He says, our day was perfect. Unfortunately, I don't have any crazy shit stories that happened that day. I guess she really enjoys my company because we've been hanging out a lot since opening day. I hope you're still doing this. I still hope you're doing this podcast in 5 years when I can write back and talk about our wedding and kids. Jesus, Aiden, calm down. What are you doing, dude? Anyway, I sure hope Elias makes some sort of move with all these kids in Norfolk destroying the game of baseball while we're stuck watching Mateo and Hayes ice cold in the batter's box. Love your podcast, and I hope Birdland can all meet up this year at the parade and celebrate another Baltimore World Series. That's from Aiden. Thank you, Aiden. Appreciate it. Glad you had a great date in Camden Yards. Again, it's always better for my podcast if you have a terrible date and shit just goes crazy. But I do remember that email that gentleman. I should go back to some of these emails and follow up and be like, hey, man, are you still with this girl? Or did you ever wind up punching your best friend in the face? Because if I'm not mistaken, and I meant to go back and look, I do remember the email he's talking about. I can't remember if it was his Yeah, it was his best friend. You're right. I do remember that. Where he wound up going to his party. She said that she's too tired. She doesn't want to go out. And he went to his friend's party, and she was there hanging out with his friend. I do remember that. Oh, man. But see, that kind of shit, Aiden, that's the kind of shit I love to hear. I'm kidding, man. I'm glad it's all going well. I'm a little nervous, though, that in the same email, you said the word love and marriage and kids, and that was your second date. My advice, slow down. Do not bring that energy towards this poor girl. I don't know. Unless she feels the same way. I don't know how old you guys are. For all I know, you guys are 52 years old and life's short and you need to hurry up and start dating again. Another email here coming in again. Aiden, appreciate it. I'm just fucking with you. Again, look, if I'm doing the podcast in 5 years and you have kids and a wedding, look, I'd love to be invited to the wedding, but, you know, I'd love to hear all about it because that's great, man. There are other people that have wrote in who are married and their first date was to Camden Yards. So that's some beautiful shit. So I see what you were doing there, Aiden. Again, I'm just messing with you, man. Hope it all works out. I want to know all about it. Here's a gentleman by the name of David. He says, Nate, opening day was phenomenal. I have never been to opening day. I was in the military and gone most of my adult life to be able to attend. I now have a federal government job, and let's just say work-life balance is quite a perk. Yeah, that is very important, by the way, David. If anyone can find a job out there with work-life balance, that's a plus, man, because God dang it, people get so burnt out there. Anyway, he says, I got to work at 9:35 on Thursday, decked out in my O's polo, hat, and lanyard. Started getting the itch about going, but it was cold as shit and windy in D.C. I looked at Baltimore's weather, and the high was about 8 degrees warmer. So I started looking at tickets, went out to my truck at 11 to buy one, then went into my boss's office at 11:30 and told him I was leaving for the day sick. And man, did I make the right call. Burns being an ace, best I've seen since Mucina. That's what I'm talking about, man, right there, David. It's like, talking about that last week. Burns and Mucina. That's the name that you think of, talking about great pitching. He says, the O's offense in midseason form. It was a beautiful sight. Get ready, Birdland. It's another 90-plus wins on deck and a postseason berth. I have a ton of confidence. This year will be a better result. David, appreciate the email. That's what I'm talking about. Another email before this weekend series. Here's another one. 90-plus win. Midseason form. Playoff berth. It's all good. But David made the right choice. That's just straight Orioles fandom right there. You show up to work. You even know your boss knows you're full of shit. But you go anyway. You say, I'm sick. He did write back and followed up. He said, I absolutely pulled the cough, cough. I'm going home now. I don't feel good. He knew exactly what was going on. He said, have fun at the game. I mean, get better. I forgot he did follow up with that. So yeah, again, damn well knowing your boss knows you're full of shit. But you don't care because it's a holiday. It's a holiday for Orioles fans, for any baseball fan. Opening day should be a holiday, damn it. I know we say that every year on this podcast. But David made the right choice. He says, you know what? Fuck this. I'm going to the game. There's no way I'm missing this. And he went to the game. Good for you, David. And he got to see Corbin Burns, just like all of us who went to the game, watching the game. And that's what I talked about last week. It's like Mike Mussina. That's what you think of when you're watching Corbin Burns, if you're old enough to remember watching Mike Mussina. But Grayson Rodriguez, man, I got to give him a shot. I can't believe I've been talking for a half hour and I haven't mentioned Grayson. I think, again, it's just me venting about this weekend. I mean, that's kind of how the podcast is going to be. Depending on what happens with the Orioles right before I put the episode out, that's what we're getting. But Grayson is the player that I mentioned the most about being excited. Grayson Rodriguez, 2 starts, 12 innings, 12.1 innings pitched, 3 earned runs, 10 hits, 16 Ks. Grayson Rodriguez. And if Kyle Bradish can get back, John Means, he had a decent outing. Again, his first outing, I think he gave up like 27 runs or something like that. I don't know. Again, when these guys are trying to work it out down in the minors, they're just trying to work specific things out. I don't think they're trying to throw 100 miles per hour every pitch. Hey, listen, next week, one thing I do want to get into as well, I want to hear from you guys, is these pitchers' arms, Everyone's talking about it right now. You know, every podcast, every sports show, network, everyone's talking about this. So fuck it. Why not jump in? Of these pitchers whose arms are everyone's just getting hurt. A lot of people are blaming it on the clock. A lot of people are blaming that if you don't throw harder than 95 miles per hour, if, you know, you're not going to get invited back. I mean, you know, there's just a huge list of people's arguments of why these pitchers get hurt a lot now. Never used to be like that back in the day. Although, you know, these relief pitchers were throwing 83 miles per hour average when they come out of the bullpen and whatever. Anyway, I just want to hear your thoughts on that. Why you think all these pitchers are getting hurt. Obviously, when you think of pitchers and hurt, you're thinking right away John Means and Bradish. It's just rough, man. But anyway, I want to hear from you. FullCountChaos@gmail.com. Want to hear your knee-jerk reaction so far in the first week of Orioles baseball. And, you know, anything on your mind, I want to hear about it. FullCountChaos@gmail.com. Till next time, see ya.